With the third pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Dante Fowler, Jr., defensive end, Florida.
I'm excited about this guy. I mean, you know what? His personality and his spirit and the way he plays the game, it'll match a personality of our defense. You know, plays hard in practice, plays hard in games. Football is extremely important to him, and that's the kind of mentality you need.
I think we've made the team happy. I think this is a young guy that, you know, defensively we can build around. He offers us a lot of flexibility.
I love what they did with the stadium and, you know, the new scoreboards and everything like that. Jacksonville is a great place. I love it.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome aboard, folks. It is Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday.
Breaking news in that open that Gus is excited about a guy.
He's excited. This guy, he's going to be more than solid, I think, for this team. I think the team
he
is excited.
Be.
Everyone's excited. Man, there's still a lot of expectations on Dante Fowler Jr. We were talking about this yesterday with Jeff Logman when we asked Jaguar fans, who do you expect to be the offensive and defensive MVPs for this team this year, and how many people pick what's essentially a rookie, a guy getting his first action. He's not a rookie.
Yeah.
He's got a few advantages of having been around the building. I think there's some inherent advantage in that, but not that much, right? He's never seen it at the game speed when he's been in the mix. And, you know, I think there are a lot of people out there. I think if you get a six-sack season out of Dante Fowler, could he be the MVP of this team? Because he makes an impact on how teams protect quarterbacks. Do they have to send double teams his way? Is he a force in the run game? I suppose it's possible. When I think of a defensive end, Leo in this case being an MVP of a team, Tony, I'm thinking double-digit sacks. And hey, I'd love to see him get there. If he does, I think he's got a great chance to be the leader on this defense. But it's a tall order for a rookie to come in and get those kind of numbers.
No doubt about it. And look, everyone knows that the expectations are going to be heaped upon Dante Fowler Jr. And if you didn't think they were going to be, then just listen to the reaction after the first 3 weeks of the preseason. Right? I mean, with the offseason that Dante Fowler Jr. had and the way he showed up at the scrimmage night here at Everbank Field, when he didn't get after the quarterback in the first three preseason games, despite the fact that he was basically playing a series or two at a time, he played a quarter basically in that third game of the preseason, despite the fact that he didn't play much through the first three preseason games, there was a lot of disappointment. We had people calling and asking, is Dante Fowler Jr. okay? Have we heaped too much expectation on this guy?
Or are they holding him back
right,
so as to not show what he's capable of?
Well, I don't know that they're holding him back. I think there's some truth to holding back the scheme of what
scheme,
they're going to do.
Yes.
Right? That doesn't mean they're not letting an athlete go be an athlete.
They're not saying Dante play half speed.
Yeah, we don't want you to not show him that you can sack the quarterback. I don't think that they had that conversation with him. And if he had five sacks in the preseason, then the expectations would be too high for Dante Fowler Jr. going into the season. I think you're looking at a guy going into his second year, that's essentially his first year in the National Football League, that has a lot to learn. And on a team where he doesn't have that veteran presence around him to kind of show him, you know, the ropes of this is what it looks like to be a professional in this league at this kind of position to get after the passer, I think there are going to be some significant growing pains for that guy in this season.
All right, he is Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. We're going to be joined momentarily by John Osier from Jaguars.com. And as we said, Leon Searcy coming up a little over an hour from now on the program, talking about what he's got going on and preview the Jaguars season through the eyes of a former offensive lineman. Tony, I'm flying without the iPad today.
Yeah.
So I'm a little disconnected, but I still manage to post a fine question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships on our social media platforms. Jaguars Today Facebook page, Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony. And we ask you, what is your favorite part of the game day experience at Everbank Field? Now, I know I've already received the game. Okay, I get it. That's fine if you want to have that be your answer. We're thinking more in terms of the experience beyond the game, whether it's just the camaraderie or one of the amenities, many amenities that they've got here at Everbank Field. Anyway, share your thoughts with us. You can even say the game if you want to, and I'll try not to get grouchy about it, and we'll just move on from there. If you'd like to get in today, 641-1010 is the phone number. It's also the text line driven by Duval Ford. Tyler Devitt is back at 1010XL World Headquarters. We'll check in with him coming up in a little bit as well. But we'll return with John Osier on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Unfortunately for me, I got some pipes at the house that have been around for a while. Metro may have been at the house yesterday helping me out, all right, because all of a sudden when you turned on the shower, all the water started spraying out behind the washing machine. That doesn't seem like that should happen.
No, no.
And it did. So Metro Rooter came in and solved it. I got all new stuff in there, and they took care of it in the most efficient manner you could imagine. They are our Wednesday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. Just getting rolling. We are live. The 1010XL takeover at Everbank Field is underway. Come and be a part of it. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Where else would our two biggest fans be? Live from FanDuelville at Everbank Field, it's the 1010XL Takeover.
What did we spend the last 5 minutes doing, Tony? Talking about our
fantasy. Yeah.
You know it, baby.
I was going to say complaining.
Well, what? Yes, that too. That was beginning. That was like 7 minutes ago. I was complaining about something for like 2 minutes. Then I quickly got distracted as Tyler and I were bonding over the fact that we each started wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver.
I did not.
In the first of our fantasy drafts last night. The three of us in another one tonight. Shadrick was in that group. Saw him this morning. He was not happy. He felt dirty. He took Cam Newton very early, John, and he felt dirty about doing it. Well, no,
he's a Bama fan, drafting an Auburn guy,
and
he's drafting a quarterback way too early.
Yeah, because everyone says quarterbacks score the most points, but they all do, right? So they all score a bunch, so you can wait. And, you know, Cam, I'd rather have Cam than any other quarterback this year in fantasy.
He panicked, but, didn't he?
He may have panicked, and immediately, it was immediate. Yeah. He goes, why did I do that? I mean, it was like the second he did it, single wing Shadrick. We'll be following.
He got down 3-0. Started.
He just, you know, he started going for it on
17.
He didn't care. He just threw it all out the window, and on he went. How you doing, man? Everything good?
Good. Look at Tony over here. Couldn't be more comfortable.
He got the corner
seat. He's in
his
spot.
And I guess I could have, look, there are corners everywhere out here. I could have the corner seat.
This is the engineer's spot right
here. He's holding court.
I'm trying not to take a nap.
Oh,
like, in the mid-sentence, I could take a nap right here.
It is amazing. We talked about it before, but what's funny is this is, what, the third year of the pool deck.
Right.
And it, I'm not going to say it feels old because it's fantastic, but the way they're adding to the stadium, you know, the pools almost feel like old news now. You know,
it's
terrific
pool.
Old news. But all the stuff they're doing, it's hard to keep pace. We always try to do stuff on Jaguars.com where we, in videos and everything, we feature what's going on in the stadium, and you almost lose track. Okay, we did this week. We did this week because there's so much new here. It's been an amazing transformation.
We're excited about the season, right? Jaguars,
absolutely,
a great talented roster. I think to commemorate 2016, I've just had a great idea. Okay, the Helmets and Heels ladies had a photo shoot in the pool. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, we get me, you, we get Johnny
like
O,
yeah.
We get Loggeman, right? We get JP, we get Gerard, we get Tyler, we can grandfather Lauren in. She used to produce this program. We get 12.
You're going
and
down
we
a
do a calendar.
Road. Yeah, you're on a calendar. Bad road.
No. We do a calendar, but we do it in like the 1910 style bathing suit with like the tank tops, right?
Right. I see that.
That's what I'm going for. That's the look I'm
throwback.
Going for.
Kind
of our teal and black stripe.
Yeah.
You're going to see it now.
It's
right?
Our protest against them not letting them wear the Jaguars on the shoulder anymore.
Exactly.
We want the throwbacks.
Yes, and until that day comes, we are going to throw this calendar all
we'll
over the place.
We'll continue wearing more clothes.
John, we're close now, man. I mean,
it's here.
They came through. I was listening to you and Ryan last night on the Frangie show. They've come through the offseason, I think, remarkably healthy,
yep.
Right? I mean, that knock on wood, let's hope that continues. But there's really, other than wondering how quickly the defense is going to gel, how quickly the left side of the line is going to gel on offense, it's kind of all systems go, right, to start the season.
And it's not very insightful, but when you step back, you realize, okay, now it's time to perform. I mean, and I guess specifically on that, I mean this weekend with the offense. I think this is a game where the offense is going to need to score points. I think Green Bay is going to score points. Aaron Rodgers dictates that, right? So we've been talking for ever since the end of last season about how this is an offense that's going to move toward the elite level. Well, elite level offenses come out, and you're not down 14-0 in this game if Green Bay's hot early. So I think this is a big game for the offense, big game for Blake Bortles to come out and show that when they need a 15-yard pass over the middle to Allen Robinson to convert, that they're going to stand for play, they're going to throw it, and those chains are going to be moving. And we've all seen offenses that move like that. At times last year, this one didn't. It didn't get going until they were behind. So, yeah, all systems are go, and now it's time, I think, to step away from the peripheries of the depth chart and the practice squad and focus on that is what they need to do to play well.
And what you guys, in part, were talking about last night was in the past, when you don't have a running game and you go
right. –
Stuffed, and all of a sudden you're 3rd and 9, 1:20 into the ball game, and you're like, wow, you know, now they're pinning their ears back, they're coming after you. You hope between Ivory and Yeldon that you're able to play in
right.
front of the markers. You know, you're playing, staying ahead of the down.
Right.
It's 2nd and 5, it's 2nd and 4, that kind of thing.
And that's that feeling we've all had with this team. If you followed it closely, there's the energy before the game, and hey, this team's got a chance. They're improving. And then all of a sudden, just seconds into it, you're like, oh, geez, here we go. You know, that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a reality. And that's what I think people want to see. Yes, they want to see a win. And yes, they want to see them upset, because it would be an upset to beat Green Bay. But I think overall, I think what people want to see is not early in the game or throughout the game or in the second half having that oh, geez feeling.
Yeah.
And I think this is a team that can easily move away from that. I think it's time for him to move away from that. I think they will. But I get the sense for a lot of fans that they're scared of that OG's feeling because it's been going on for so long. That's the anxiety of the game, but I think this team's ready to move away from it.
Well, you carry that into the stadium until they give you a reason not
sure.
to. You know, as a fan. And
it's
been
a long time since
you
haven't had it.
And I think that's fair. And if they come out on Sunday and they go 3 and out, then, you know, there's going to be 60,000 people here that are going, are you for real?
Yeah, I'll be moving my... I have TweetDeck open during the game.
Uh-huh.
If they go 3 and out, I might go away from that timeline for a little while.
Yes.
Right.
So, yeah, I do not look at Twitter during the game.
Yeah,
I do. I love it.
I kind of have to.
I try to stay away.
I love
it.
I love watching
possible.
People react in anger.
Yeah, you get sucked
happening.
In on game day.
I do.
Day,
I love it.
John, this is how we treat our guests here on Jaguars Today.
It's big.
We cater is what we do. What do we have coming up here?
Well, I'm used to this. I usually...
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Is that the gator sausage that we're talking about right there? Do we have a microphone for this young man?
You can have mine for a moment.
All right, let's talk to this young man and find out what we have serving up here. First of all, thank you for breakfast, brunch, whatever you want to call it. What's your name?
Sean Kinoshita.
Hey, Sean, nice to meet you.
Nice
and
meet you.
What are you serving us today?
Today, you guys have our signature alligator gator sausage.
Sausage.
It smells good. It looks good. How many different components go into making this thing?
It's a custom blend by Azer Sausage. They get the gator meat, and they have a blend with their spices and herbs, especially for us.
How popular is this on game day?
It's quite popular. People don't really know about it because it's only on a few stalls out here. But
okay.
As the games go by, people are ordering more and more.
And that's kind of one of the things you guys are doing. You've got, depending on what area of the stadium you're in, you've got different food options. Is
yep,
that right?
Absolutely.
So how, if I'm looking for this gator sausage on game day, this Sunday, where do I have to go to find this?
We have a stack burger. It's on the main concourse. It's also in both stack burgers on the east and west clubs.
All right. And what would you say is your most popular, what are you pumping out the most of on game day?
Probably hamburgers.
Hey, just a good old-fashioned all-American hamburger.
Hamburgers and hot dogs. I mean, you know, that's what people come here for.
You got hamburgers and hot dogs, man, but you got a lot of high-end food options as well. So basically, depending on which way you want to go, you got something for everybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Part of a beautiful game day experience. Sean, we appreciate it very much.
Thank you for stopping by.
And you got a whole basket of chips
that's
here,
right.
John. They know you, right?
I'm not a chip guy.
No, yeah, you're not a chip guy?
It, no.
All right. Sun chips.
I'm not saying I never have a chip.
Thank
Mike.
You, Sean.
Thank
Sean's
you.
Serving up. Oh, my goodness. Who's the extra one going to, by the way? Might be me. I don't know. I'm down 40.
You and your quote-unquote diet.
Bro,
right?
I'm down 44 pounds. I think I can eat half a gator sausage.
Sure, you say that now.
Probably
man.
Be what, okay.
Whatever.
Famous last words.
I probably could. You're right.
Sausage.
You're right.
In December, you're going to be sitting
is
there going, it all turned on the gator sausage.
Tyler, we could send one to you or maybe hold it for you for later. I don't know if it's going to travel well.
You would
though.
Do that for me?
I absolutely would do
thank
that
you.
For you. Only because I'm on a diet and I'm only going to eat half of one. So... that's the way it's going to go. Man, does that smell good.
It does.
Oh, my gosh. John, what's going to be like? I mean, this is a big game, It's such a trite expression, right? But this is the opener against a franchise that's been a perennial playoff contender mm-hmm. for as long as we can remember, you know, at least going back to the early days of Brett Favre in Green Bay and all through the Aaron Rodgers regime. Maybe the best player in the league is Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
Certainly among the handful of two or three elite quarterbacks. You're testing a secondary with Tashaun Gibson back there now, former Pro Bowler. You got a lot of talent in Jalen Ramsey, but it's raw. How quickly does it all come together on the back end of the defense when you're taking on that kind of a challenge in week one?
Well, the first thing you addressed is absolutely true, meaning I've been back 5 years. I was away for 10 years, but the energy, the anticipation for this game, you know, the sold-out crowd, but you guys hear it as well. As much as there are some fans nervous about the Green Bay game and nervous about the result, overall the energy level around this team and the expectation, this is why you do it. This is why you're an NFL team and an NFL city, all that stuff. As far as the specifics of how quickly the defense comes together, that's the nerve-wracking point for this team going into this game without question. I don't think anybody has any question that over time this defense is going to be a lot better. And I think particularly in the area you talked about, Tashaun Gibson, Jalen Ramsey, Prince Amukamara, Devon House, those are four guys going to be playing Sunday who were really good in coverage.
Devon House may end up being the fourth best of that group, and that's not an insult
sure.
to Devon House. He was clearly the best thing,
in the secondary,
you know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so that just tells you how much in one
right.
off season,
and they covered well in the preseason. That's the thing that, you know, I'm a pass rush guy. I believe that you get to the quarterback first, and then what happens in the secondary is very secondary. That's just what I've grown up covering this league believing. But this secondary is a lot better than it was last year. So if there are pass rush issues as Dante Fowler, Ngakoue, as these guys come together up front, if that doesn't come together as quickly as possible, then this secondary may be one we saw in the preseason. When they were together, when Gibson was on the field, it was a very good coverage secondary. So maybe that's their X factor. Maybe they fool people back there. At some point, you still have to get pass rush.
Sure.
But it's so much better in the secondary that even if the pass rush is just marginally better, I think the defense overall against the pass is better by default.
Yeah, and I think there's the potential for this. Green Bay is one of the best teams in the league.
Right.
And we talked about how great Aaron Rodgers is, and I think there's a lot of expectation for the Packers offense to look like it did 2 years ago, more so than it did last year,
right.
where at times it looked like it was just a little out of sync because Nelson wasn't there, the running game wasn't working.
Well, there were times it didn't look at all like what you thought the Packers offense should look, and that's a strange thing for it to look like.
Sure, and I think there's the potential for the game on Sunday to be one of those games where you're basically asking both sides of the ball to hold serve.
Yep.
At some point, where you do expect the offense to be better this year, so at some point you think they're going to have to score with the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
We're waiting on all these pieces on defense to come together. I think it would be unfair to expect them to come in here on Sunday against one of the better offenses, maybe the best quarterback in the NFL, and hold them to 17 points. That's just
right.
not realistic.
Well, there were so many cases last year, and I'm a broken record on this, so many cases last year where if they could have just made one stop out of four on third and eight in situations, then all of a sudden they could have gotten back in the game. I mean, the Texans game last year, the Falcons game last year, I can name them all. So I do think that the defense minimum is going to be that much better, meaning if you're facing third and eights and a half, I think you're going to get off the field a couple times. So that's holding serve. That's getting the break and getting back. So I do think on that front the defense is better. I'll go back to what I said at the top of when I came on. The offense wasn't an offense last year that stayed in that sort of a game. It was an offense last year that got itself back into that sort of a game late, and it scored at times. But it didn't hold pace when the other team was really sprinting. And I think that's what this offense needs to come to expect of itself, is it can be that sort of offense that can keep you in a game even when the defense is struggling. It's time for them to make that sort of jump.
John Osier, Jaguars.com, here with us. He's going to stick around. We'll continue to talk about the opening game for the Jags against the Green Bay Packers coming up this Sunday at Everbank. And that ties in with our question of the day, which asks you, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, what is your favorite aspect of the game day experience here at Everbank Field? Heck, this may be a different answer a week from now because you're going to experience a lot more things potentially.
Maybe sitting right here.
Than you had a chance. And maybe sitting right here, right? Johnny, by the way, is such
a Gator Hoagie.
He's like an indoor cat, Tony. He came out here. He's looking for the fan. Can I get this fan to turn on? There's a natural breeze blowing through here, John.
Well, I made the mistake of wearing pants.
Beautiful shaded tent area. You did make the mistake of wearing pants.
Well, I mean, long pants.
Oh, okay.
For me,
I see what you're saying.
As opposed to shorts. Right. 9 times out of 10, I will wear pants.
All right.
Of some sort.
Well, we do the show.
Got to bite me around for the one.
Got to do this show 10 days in a row and see what happens with Johnny. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs, even at my own house. They were there yesterday, folks. Either people I trust, residential, commercial, industrial plumbing, septic systems. Heck, if that spigot behind your washer breaks and it starts spraying water everywhere. Same-day service, weekends included. They've got the right people with the right equipment. They fixed mine up beautifully in record time yesterday, serving Jacksonville and beyond since 1978. MetroRooter.com is where you'll find them on the web. Call 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars today. Hey, we're going to step aside, but all that means is you've got a few extra minutes to go to FanDuel.com/Mike and get at least one more entry in for our week one pool. 250 people, it's capped at, so there's $1,150 in prize. That's a pretty good return on investment for a $5 entry fee. You can win $200, so get on board. 40 times your entry for $5, FanDuel.com/Mike. Go sign up. Take on Tony, myself, Tyler, and the rest of the Jaguars Today crew. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Back live for more of the 1010XL takeover at Everbank Field in a moment on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
On Sunday, the Jaguars get ready to host Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers in front of a sellout crowd. We'll get to see some of the new guys on the field, including Miles Jack. Where will he fit in with the defense? Here's head coach Gus Bradley.
He gives us flexibility. He's primarily playing a lot of will right now and giving us that spot there where, you know, he can provide some depth there. And we'll just see how much he progresses. He continues to play, then, you know, we got to find a role for him. He's going to have a role on special teams. There's no doubt about it. Where he fits in defensively right now, ask me more towards the end of the week.
Now this week, Gus Bradley says the team voted on captains for the offense. Quarterback Blake Bortles is your guy. Defense linebacker Paul Posluszny. And special teams captain is long snapper Carson Tinker. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmon.
All right, folks, it is a Metro Rooter Wednesday here. Jaguars Today, we are live at Everbank. Cabana 3. John, did you look for us in Cabana 2 or 4 on your way up here this morning?
I did. I looked in Cabana 2, and I got real thrown. I got confused.
Because there's no one here.
Yeah, and
fortunately, you looked immediately to your left.
I was lost.
There we are.
And I looked over. Oh, okay.
They're the guys. Yeah. I think I smell some sausage cooking, by the way. Delicious.
It's outstanding.
I've
never had it, but it's, yeah, it's outstanding.
I've never had it until now.
Yeah,
I've had alligator tail and stuff like that, but that is spectacular. So somebody's going to be happy with that fourth sandwich that they brought us a little bit later on. Some people are not going to be happy. Some people are going to be thrilled. I understand the dichotomy of interest in the fantasy forecast show that we've done over the last, I don't know how many years. And, you know, we don't have control over all the time slots on the station. We only have 2 hours. We're not going to take an hour we're not going to take half of one of our days and talk about nothing but fantasy football, mm-hmm. at least on a weekly basis. So, unfortunately, Tony, the fantasy forecast is on hiatus for 2016, the radio show aspect of it. However,
doesn't mean you're not getting the info.
We'll give you the info, right? We've got the TV show on CW17, at your Jacks Fantasy Football, Saturday nights at 11, Sundays at 11:30. Tell us how handsome we look, because we do look damn good. And we've also got a brand-new podcast. As a matter of fact, we had it out yesterday. I didn't want to talk it up too much yesterday because I had a couple of drafts to do last night. But we're giving you a few last-minute thoughts, and we can't help ourselves, man. We're going to not hold back. We're going to tell you what we honestly think. We did one yesterday and some little final draft prep, some of the latest news impacting the average draft position of some of the guys out there. And it's presented by National Truck Driver School. Tyler Devitt, this is podcast is going to be done on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Where are folks going to be able to go to listen to this if they choose to?
You can find it on 1010XL.com, where all of the other 1010XL Fine podcasts are found in the podcast section. If you're in the car, you could download the SoundCloud app where all of our podcasts are at, and you can stream it through your car. So if you're driving to work, you can listen to the Fantasy Forecast.
All right, great.
That's what I'll do.
Fantastic. I know you will. Yeah. Shadrick should have done that before last night, I think, Tony. It might have helped him out
too late
a little
now.
Bit. It is
Hayes
too late
in the barn.
Now. It's brought to you by National Truck Driver School. Tuesdays going to be kind of a look back and also focus on the waiver wire. Thursdays will do lineup suggestions and the like. So you can check that out if you're looking for a little fantasy football content. Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony with John Osier here. What are we laughing at? Hi, guys. Hey, everyone's just hanging out. And I think they smelled the gator sausage.
I
it's quite
so,
possible.
Yeah.
They came. They're yes, photos. You must document everything that you do at Everbank Field.
Yes, you must.
By the way, what are you coming up? What are you focusing on for week one of the season? How does your responsibility shift to Jaguars.com now that we're getting out of preseason mode?
Well, it shifts to more daily. Let's look at the game. Let's look at what they need to do to win. And let's look at what they need to do to play well. So it's a lot of daily coverage. As it gets closer, then it's a lot more, okay, let's break this down and see how see what they need to do to play well.
Obviously, containing Aaron Rodgers, you would think maybe job number one, period, on either side of the ball. Just don't let him have one of those massive Aaron Rodgers
right.
type games. Other than that, though, is it, I mean, how important is the fast start? I mean, you know, look, if you don't, as long as you score a bunch of points, if you get them in the second half, you get them in the first half, it doesn't
right.
matter that much. But, you
yeah,
know.
I think it does matter for this team. I think they need to score early out of the box. I don't know about first drive, but you sure don't want it to be 17-0 at the end of the first quarter.
And, oh, no doubt.
I'm not saying it's going to be that, but.
Then you let Clay Matthews do what he does.
Right. I think for this offense. I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, when it gave you that feeling, and if you think back to after the first two preseason games, you thought, okay, this offense is getting it together. This offense could be really, really good. I don't think it was necessarily the way Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns played, because I think people sort of assumed that. But it was how they were able to run the ball in a manner that they wanted to run it. And they were able to run the ball when they wanted to run it. I think that's what they need to do on Sunday. I think this team needs to bare minimum. I don't think it's going to be 135-yard rushing a game team. But in the first quarter of games this year, I think at the end of the first quarter, the opposing defensive coordinator needs to be thinking to himself, I got to get the run stopped or else I'm going to lose. So I think that's key early. I think if they do that, then this offense becomes very hard to stop. Then all of a sudden, Allen Robinson, Julius Thomas, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee, it becomes very daunting for the coordinator to try to stop all those guys if he doesn't think he can stop the run.
Right, and because it gives, you know, two or three of those guys one-on-one matchups.
Right.
If they have to bring that extra guy in the box because they feel like they need to take away the run. And I don't think it's so much
down your pass rush, too.
Sure, and I don't think it's so much important for Allen Robinson because it feels like he's going to make plays
sure.
anyway. But when you're getting single coverage on, specifically to me, Julius Thomas, mm-hmm. especially on a safety or linebacker, he's more athletic than anybody that's going to be out there
right.
trying to cover him. And I don't think they've shown a whole lot of what they want to do with Julius. You saw in the Cincinnati game, I keep going back to it, but the fade they threw to Marquise Lee, that's Julius that they're trying to get singled up over there on that side of the field. It's not going to be Marquise.
Right.
It's going to be him, or it's going to be Allen Robinson. And I don't think they wanted to show how they wanted to get to that point yet, but I think it could be something that they unveil on Sunday that Green Bay just hasn't seen yet.
And I think that's an important point to make. As much as we all, you know, we have a month of preseason games, and then we have 4 or 5 days between them, and we have to come in and talk about it. So you analyze the preseason, you break it down, and you build it up, and then you play it down. But the reality is just what you said. If they ran that fade to Marquise, I would be shocked if that's something that's in the offensive game plan in week one. And I think that holds true with a lot of things on both sides of the ball. Very little of what they showed was with any notion of running it in week one. And, in fact, may have been quite the opposite. Let's get them ready for this. Let's have them thinking about this, and then we're
sure.
going to go do this. So I do think that Julius Thomas – based on a lot of things that players said during the offseason, during OTAs. When you talk to Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson and those guys, they talked a lot about Julius in the offseason. And it seemed to me that they, A, know that he's really, really good, and B, I think they think there's going to be a lot in the game plan for him to succeed this year. So
Sure. He's
a guy. I mean, a little fantasy football advice there, Mike. What do you think?
That's not bad at all.
I like Julius.
I know yesterday when Lagerman was in with us, we talked briefly about the idea of, you know, everyone has a book on everybody. So coordinators have books on coordinators and coaches and tendencies
right. And
these kinds of things. I think it's also important looking at the preseason that nobody has a book on Todd Wash yet.
Sure.
And I think I had questions about some of the stuff they were doing, specifically in the Cincinnati game.
Right.
And they're running three defensive linemen out there, and one of them's not Malik Jackson. And in my head, I'm going, this is not something they're doing. I think a lot of that goes back
to what we just talked about.
Yeah, they don't want to really show anything that Todd Wash is actually going to throw at the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, and I don't think that can be underestimated. I don't know that we know what it's going to be, but I'm pretty sure we know it's not going to be that.
Yeah, it's not going to be three down linemen with Malik Jackson off the field. It's not going to be the plan on third and long.
I'd be a little surprised. I understand why we all jumped to criticize that. I think there were things they did in that game that if that's what we see during the regular season, that's a little dicey. But I don't think it's going to be that during the regular
season.
Right,
that's the question, right? Because if they come out and beat Green Bay, is anyone going to say another word about the preseason, anything that happened good or bad the rest of the way?
I don't. A couple people on Twitter might.
They're in the 1%, right? I mean, because, look, if they come out and struggle in the first half, you're going to say, see, we saw it coming. It's the same old thing. And, look, not that that matters or is going to have an impact on how they play the next snap or the next game or series or anything like that. But
that's clearly going to be the reaction. The NFL is very much a marathon and a league of attrition. But for this buildup, we don't have anything else to go on for this team that changed so much in the offseason. This is in a sense, a 35% new team. So basically, on Monday morning, what we're going to have is this game. So it's going to be analyzed, and if they don't play well, it's going to be ripped apart.
We will break it down
sure.
on Monday, I guarantee you.
That's how it has to be.
We will do that. All right, packed house expected. We're live at Everbank Field for the 1010XL takeover here. John Osier's around. He's going to stick around for a few more minutes. Leon Searcy going to join us this morning at about 11:20, so that's about a half an hour away. We'll find out what he's got going on and get his thoughts on offensive line play, how quickly that can come together when you've got some new pieces to work into the mix and some guys playing new positions as well. Glad you're a part of it out there. 641-1010 if you want to hit us up on the text line or on the phone lines. Text line driven by Duval Ford. The question of the day for social media today is, what is your favorite aspect of the Everbank Field game day experience for the Jacksonville Jaguars? You can share your thoughts on Twitter, on Facebook, you name it, and hit us up on that. This date in football and the Honda drive around the NFL coming up. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and John Osier here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Football season kicking off tomorrow, folks. That means week one of the NFL season, week one of the fantasy football season as well. FanDuel.com, that's your one-stop shop for all the fun and excitement that you could possibly add to the already great NFL experience. I got a special offer. If you're new to FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com, sign up using my code Mike. Just my first name, M-I-K-E. You're going to get this deal. Deposit today, you get 5 free entries to NFL Beginner Contest. That's a free entry per week, 5 weeks in a row. They're 50-50s. What that means is you beat 50% of the field, you're going to win cash. It's that simple. Don't forget, use my code Mike and get those 5 free entries. And once you're signed up at FanDuel.com, then the fun really begins because they have so many different leagues. They've got beginner leagues, so you don't play in the pool with all the sharks who are taking your money. They've got head-to-heads. You can challenge a friend. They've got larger tournaments for even more action. And we've got our own listener league, FanDuel.com/Mike. FanDuel.com/Mike. Sign up for $5. Have a chance to win some cash and major bragging rights. FanDuel.com. Use promo code Mike and get those 5 free entries.
This is Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, it's September 7th. We go back to 1963, and the Pro Football Hall of Fame was dedicated in Canton, Ohio. The 19,000-square-foot, two-building Hall of Fame was opened, and the Hall's charter class of 17 enshrinees included Sammy Baugh, Burt Bell, former commissioner of the league, Joe Carr, Dutch Clark, my favorite guy. Harold Red Grange, George Halas, Mel Hine, Pete Henry, Cal Hubbard, Don Hudson, the outstanding receiver, Curly Lambeau, Tim Mara, George Preston Marshall, John Blood McNally. They don't have nicknames like they used to. Bronco Nagurski, Ernie Nevers, and Jim Thorpe. Same date in 1986, the Cleveland Browns became the first team in NFL history to have a play reviewed by instant replay. It didn't help them win that day, however, as Chicago downed the Browns 41-31. Famous birthdays for this date: Burt Jones, a quarterback who basically took over for Johnny Unitas in Baltimore, born on this date in 1951. He made one Pro Bowl along the way, and he is 65 years old today. And Bruce Armstrong, longtime tackle for the New England Patriots, a six-time Pro Bowler, born on this date in 1965. He is 51 years young today. You know what? Happy birthday to Beef and Ken Brady from 1010XL as well, and that is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Rams head coach Jeff Fisher, also known as Mr. 7 and 9, told NFL Network Steve Wise that Sean Mannen will be the team's backup, and punter Johnny Hecker will be the emergency backup. That means the number one overall draft pick, Jared Goff, will be inactive for week one. Case Keenum will be the starter with a career record of 5-10 and a 38 career total QBR. Fisher also called Carson Wentz's situation in Philadelphia completely different than that of Goff's in L.A., and the last quarterback to go first overall and not play in week one was Jamarcus Russell back in 2007.
Yeah, it's completely different. He only missed the entire preseason, and he's still going to be the starter on opening day, and he played at North Dakota State, and your guy played at Cal, and you moved up to get him with the number one overall. You're right, it's completely different, and you're a fool, Jeff Fisher.
Mm-mm-mm.
We should believe him. He has a good pedigree. According to Adam Schefter, Bills offensive tackle Chantrell Henderson is facing a four-game suspension for violating the substance abuse policy of the NFL. Currently under appeal, and the pending suspension, according to Schefter, is related to a treatment he received for Crohn's disease. So a weird story there, and I'm sure if that is the case, the appeal will find that as such. And the Columbus, Ohio City Attorney's Office has announced it has declined to pursue charges against Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott in an alleged domestic violence incident from a July incident with his former girlfriend. And a bunch of roster moves here, Mike and Tony. Philadelphia is sending cornerback Eric Rowe, a 2015 second-round draft pick, to the Patriots for a 2018 fourth-round pick. And that 2018 pick could also go up to a third-rounder if Rowe meets some incentives. And the Colts agreed to terms with linebacker Akeem Ayers. The veteran played in all 16 games last year for the Rams. The Colts also waived former Jaguars quarterback Stephen Morris and worked out former Jaguar Ryan Davis yesterday. The Buccaneers signed former Texans and longtime Jaguars wide receiver Cecil Short, so Cecil is now in Tampa. Former Titans running back David Cobb was signed to the Steelers practice squad. The Bills signed former Bengals receiver and returner Brandon Tate. And for some fun here, guys, let's go off to our friend Stephen A. Smith. He had an interesting take regarding standing or sitting for players during the national anthem.
I'm saying when you are a private industry in the United States of America and you are affording individuals an opportunity to play a game for millions upon millions of dollars, it is perfectly within the NFL's right, if they wanted to say, excuse me, you will stand for the national anthem or you will receive a fine, for example. They do have a right to do that. We could talk about how it shouldn't be compulsory or whatever, but we also need, if we're going to be in the United States of America, to acknowledge the fact that in a private industry, you do have the right,
but
if you insist to do that.
Any thoughts on Stephen A's stance there, guys?
I don't have anything to say about it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think he's right. If they chose to, it's a workplace environment.
Sure. Would it be fair of the NFL to do so? I feel like that would cause a lot of backlash if the NFL decided to
find and then they haven't done it. I just think he's saying they would be within their rights to do that. Just like if our employer said, hey, we don't want you holding a political rally in the middle of your work shift, right, or whatever the case may be, and that's their prerogative. You know,
sure,
you're not in your own time.
And I think there's a reason the NFL hasn't done anything like that, even if they could, and they don't necessarily like the fact that Kaepernick isn't standing for the anthem, and that's because there would be a gigantic backlash if they tried to make that kind of statement to a guy. So instead, they're just saying, look, we want everybody to stand for the anthem, but we don't require, this is America, you have your freedom to do whatever. They're not going to step in on this.
The NFL's not taking a hit on this story. If Kaepernick is, it's certainly not in the jersey sales department, where he's now the number one best-selling jersey in the National Football League. So this is just more publicity for the National Football League, honestly. Some people are not going to like it. Some people will like it. Some people will tune in just to see what happens next. I'm just tuning in to see how big that afro gets, man.
Sure.
That thing is...
It's impressive.
Woo!
Look,
oh, my gosh, is that impressive.
I'm curious, right, about what's going to happen this Sunday with, you know, the final week of the preseason where his teammate Eric Reed kneels with him before the game in San Diego and
on
Jeremy
9/11,
Lane,
by the way.
Yeah, and up in Seattle, you know, one of the cornerbacks up there decided he was going to sit through the anthem as well. I'm curious to see, you know, what the reaction's going to be here on opening weekend. It is 9/11, and I know it's military appreciation like weekend here with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I haven't heard anything that indicates to me that anybody on the Jaguars is going to do anything, but I'm curious, with two more guys joining them for week four of the preseason, what could happen this weekend with the opening of football?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that big a deal regardless, even if you had a few guys taken in.
I don't either.
There's not going to be a big focus on it. They're not going to show those guys on the Jumbotron. Right. They're not going to draw attention to it. And if that upsets you and you want to yell about it, that's your prerogative, but you're going to be drowned out by all the people going, Rockets, red glare, and, you know, land of the free, home of the brave, and all that. And game on, and...
They'll be asked the question about it in the locker
room
if they did it afterwards, and that would probably, depending on what they say, pretty much be the end of it.
You can feel however you like about that, and, you know, I really don't need to go down that hole too much. Mr. 7-9, by the way, did you see my little contribution to CBS Sports yesterday? They had a guy putting together a compilation of the most hated person for every fan base, who is the ultimate villain out there. And I said, you know, I got to represent Jacksonville, and I said, it used to be Jeff Fisher back when he was relevant. So, you know, I mean, look at this. 7-9, 6-10, 7-9, 7-8-1, 6-10. Oh, yeah, back in 2009, he did manage an 8-8 season. So that's the last 6 years.
That's worthy of an extension.
Of Jeff Fisher's career. He has been .500 one time. And, look, he went 13-3 the year before that. He's had some really big seasons. Those offset many, 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 many years of mediocrity. So I went with Andrew Luck because he's annoying to me. He's got the neck beard, John.
Yeah, now he probably is.
He's got the book club.
I mean, it feels like there's potential if Tennessee would get. I mean, I think J.J. Watt's pretty hated by the
fan. I think
base.
J.J. Watt probably was the answer, but he's Titans guy was going
right.
to J.J. Watt, so I said, let's do it different.
I think there's potential if Tennessee would get. Would get good. I think there's potential for it to be somebody from Tennessee.
I thought you said Tennessee would get good for a second there.
No, I mean,
they're going to make running
sexy
again.
It just feels like
again.
They're more hated than anybody to me.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little more institutional hatred with that. I could see that. Absolutely.
By a touch.
We are in Cabana number 3, FanDuelville is where we're hanging out today. I just wanted to tell you about some more of the amenities that are up here. By the way, the area is open to all ticket holders. It's a two-story fan plaza here in the north end zone. If you don't know exactly where we're talking about, right in front of the scoreboard. I was calculating how badly that would hurt if that scoreboard happened to tip over right now. Probably won't.
Wouldn't be good.
I think it probably won't.
Open. No.
But like Tony said, we'd probably need a quick response like they had to save Teddy Bridgewater's leg up in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd be pinned under that and be all she wrote.
Why are we talking about the scoreboard?
Because it's
doing?
Very big and it's right behind me.
Right.
And it's right there. FanDuelville, by the way, opens 2 hours prior to kickoff. And as I said, all ticketed fans have access to it. You can enjoy live action on the field. Get access to free fantasy football games and experiences, live fantasy stats, scoring updates, food and beverage, absolutely live entertainment, including DJs, live music for the biggest and best party in the National Football League. And they can host up to 3,000 fans at one time in this area of the stadium. The first 100 fans to download the FanDuelville Snapchat filter this Sunday, by the way, will get access into the FanDuel VIP area. You have to be in the stadium to access the filter. So if you'd like to check that out, get here early and download the FanDuelville Snapchat filter this week. And the FanDuelville fifth quarter, you can stick around after the game for a two-hour event featuring a live DJ, key late-game matchups on the world's largest video boards, interactive experiences with Jaguar personalities, perhaps
I've heard that party,
John Osher sometime.
Gets a little crazy after Jaguars' victories here at the stadium. They keep this thing open for two more hours with
that.
DJs.
No doubt. You know, fortunately, not everyone chooses to do that because it's nice 2 hours after the game. That's the best time to get out of the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine if you're willing to hang out. It really is as easy an access as any stadium I've been to in the National Football League.
It's true. I usually ride here about 6 hours after the game. So
exactly.
It's an easy shot for me.
Yeah, it's for you. It is, right. All right, Johnny, we're going to cut you loose. Leon Searcy is coming up here in a minute, but what do you have coming up specifically over the next couple of days?
Well, tomorrow I'm writing about the four veterans who need to play to their potential that they haven't played to yet for this team to make a serious jump.
And Jokel, Cyprian, those are two of them.
If Sip does, fine. But
are they veterans that have been here?
They're veterans. Fowler's one of them, put it that way.
Okay.
He is a veteran.
And the point is, there are guys on this roster that we all believe are going to be very good and could be really good.
Okay.
And there are guys who have played well, but they need to play to that potential for this to turn into a special season. So one of them is Jokel.
All right, I got one.
And one of them is Fowler. So there's two more.
All right, two mystery Jagwars that need to come through
Nortman.
For them.
There's a lot of guys who need to play better.
Nortman, my friend.
But there's three or four who, if they make a jump, fans are going to see on the field, and it's going to make a difference in winning and losing.
Hey, feel free to take JP a bag of these Sun Chips.
He'll just be a little ticked that he didn't get a little bit of
Gator. Tell him how good that the Gator sauce
it was good,
was.
I'm telling you.
Absolutely
telling
delicious.
You still an 8-8 guy, John?
Maybe a touch over. But 8-8, I think this weekend may not be one of the W8s. I think this is a tough, tough matchup. But I think they're a lot better, and they're better than a lot more teams than they were last year.
Yeah, I'm on that 8.5 mark right now. Yeah. I don't know which way I'm going to tip. It's going to be 8 or 9. We're going to make our official predictions on Friday, or maybe even tomorrow.
But strangely enough, I think we'll really have a better idea, win or lose, I think we'll have a better idea after Sunday of just what this team is. Because I just have this feeling that the preseason didn't show us a lot of cards for these guys.
Sure, and it's a great test, obviously, with the Packers coming in.
All right, check out Johnny O on Twitter, at John Osier, and, of course, read him on the digital pages of Jaguars.com. They're outstanding senior writer and a frequent guest here on Jaguars Today, or guest host, I guess we should say.
You'd say that, sure.
Good to see you, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
There he goes. John Osier, everybody. Thanks for stopping by. Leon Searcy. You'd probably love one of these Gator sausages, Tony. I guarantee you'd probably love three of them if you know Big Leon. But he'll be joining us coming up next to talk about what he's got going on, including his organization called Real Men Block, and as well as previewing the Jaguars' upcoming season right here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. We're live on the FanDuelville deck here high above the ground on at Everbank Field, just getting ready for Sunday afternoon. Can't wait to see this place packed out for the Jags and the Packers. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. You know I'm always talking about what a great option they are for lunch. You know what? And they've got their own sausage sandwiches. They've got just about any kind of sandwich you can imagine. They've got delicious breakfast sliders as well. Two little breakfast sliders. They're little, but they eat big. And you get two thick sausage patties on those with a slice of tasty melted cheddar cheese on a freshly baked bun they call a baby brioche. And for only $3, it's absolutely the perfect size for eating on the go. You're not going to beat that deal for breakfast on the go anywhere in town. And really, on the go is what Dandy's all about, because your life is busy. They know that. You don't want to mess around with substandard anything. They've got quality ingredients, quality food, great selection, phenomenal prices, and great locations. Circle K, Kangaroo Express, they're all over the place. They're all over town. Anywhere where better food on the go is served, that's where you're going to find Dandy and the Anytime Deli line. So whether it's breakfast, lunch, or anytime you're hungry, do what I do and make yours a Dandy today.
Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field. Where else would our two biggest fans be? Live from FanDuelville at Everbank Field. It's the 1010XL Takeover.
That's where it is, the 1010XL Takeover, right now live at Everbank Field. It is gorgeous out right now, Tony. Not too steamy. I hope it's a lot hotter than this on Sunday, though, as the Packers come into town and melt in the Florida heat and humidity.
Oh, it's nice right now. It was like 63 this morning or something like that.
Can't have that on Sunday,
man. It's
like
a record low this morning. It's still going to get up to like 90, I think, this afternoon, but it is downright pleasant outside right now.
It really is.
I'm in full lounge mode too here.
You got your feet up, man. You're kicked back. You're relaxing. You're having a great time. One guy never relaxed, at least between the lines, the sidelines when he roamed the field for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Our next guest, Leon Searcy, joins us once again here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Big Leon. How are you, buddy?
What's going on, fellas? I need me a radio job. Someone says y'all by a cabana by poolside. I need
bro, we got a pool, we got a cabana, we got a tent. They're bringing us food. We got a breeze. We got the stay. I mean, we got it all right now, man. They have
y'all
done some work. We are spoiled, Leon.
We might even let you do the broadcast with the cigar in your mouth, Leon.
Yeah, you can chomp that cigar all you like, man. You'd look good with us up here. How you been, man? Everything good?
Man, everything is good. Everything is beautiful. Truly
you know, you're trying to change the image of offensive linemen a little bit, I know, because you know, people like to refer to you guys as the big uglies, but your organization now is called Real Men Block, and it's about taking pride in being an offensive lineman. What made you want to start up a group like this, like Real Men Block?
Well, you know, about 5 years ago on the side, I used to train CFL, Arena League, and some of the lower-tier football leagues. I used to train them on the side, and every time they used to come to the practice field, they come dressed any old way. Mismatch, they got Adidas here, Nike here, and I was like, wait a minute now. I mean, it's right. They do call us the big uglies. Now, I just got an epiphany. I said, you know what? I need to create a line, a sports apparel line that just caters to offensive linemen. And I just did. What's amazing about it, I mean, this idea was just on a piece of paper last year, and now it's just taken off. I've had offensive linemen all across the country buying my – right now it's just hats and T-shirts, but eventually I'm going to create a whole community where offensive linemen can interact with one another, talk to one another about training, how to block this guy, nutrition, games, watching film. So a high school kid can actually, a month from now, a high school kid can actually come on realmenblock.com and ask an all-pro how to block a guy or how to train or a nutrition and all that. So it's going to be a whole community of offensive linemen interacting with each other, sharing ideas, and it's all about getting better.
I like it, man. And if some of those young, aspiring offensive linemen out there want to check out some of the hats and T-shirts that are available already, go to realmenblockapparel.com or check you guys out on Twitter as well, at realmenblock.
Yeah, and Leon, I wanted to ask you, there is this perception, at least for me, as someone who covers the league, that, you know, quarterbacks have kind of this fraternity, right, where they all kind of talk to each other. They hang out with one another. They know each other. They do give each other advice. We talked to Blake Bortles about who he talked to this offseason, and, you know, he said that he hung out with Aaron Rodgers a little bit, that kind of thing. Does that same kind of camaraderie exist with offensive linemen?
You know, mostly in the locker room. I mean, the offensive line, with my experience, the offensive linemen are usually the most tight-knit group in the locker room. We hang out together. We talk together. We eat together. We play cards together. This is just an extension of that. Real Men Block is going to be an extension of already a nice, tight-knit group, which the offensive line is. It's just going to be an extension of the locker room, to be quite honest with you, because we are tight. We are close. We've got to be close because we've got to be on the same page if we're going to have any kind of success. I mean, the offense doesn't move unless the offensive line is playing well.
Ain't that the truth? Leon Searcy here with us, Leon, because this team has got all the pretty boys you want. I mean, when I say pretty boys, you got the skill guys, the quarterbacks, the receivers, tight ends, running backs. The Jags are loaded there, but if you can't get the job done up front with those five guys, it's not going to let the rest of that offense work efficiently. I think we're pretty excited about parts of the offensive line, and we're wondering what the rest of it's going to look like. What do you know about Kelvin Beachum's game, who they signed? Of course, he tore his ACL up in Pittsburgh last year. If he's back to full health, how good can he be at the left tackle spot?
He could be really good. I'm a big fan of his when he was up north with the Steelers. I'm a big fan of his. It's just a matter of his health. I've been, you know, consistently watching the offensive line. I think we've got everything we need offensively to win the division. I like Bortles. I like our receiving core. I like Yeldon at the running back. I like the acquisitions. But the meat and potatoes of our run game has got to be between the center and the two guards. If our center and two guards can be on the same page, I mean, as good as Baselli and I were when we played, we're on the outside. But we always kept the pressure on the guys on the inside because we knew that the heart and soul of our run game was going to be between Wydell, Ben Coleman, and the guys, and Rich Tilske. So, you know, as good as we were, we knew that we had to have those guys on the same page if we want to have any kind of success. So that's going to be the key to the game, being able to run, keeping the pressure off of Bortles, letting those receivers be the playmakers they are. I love the acquisitions that we made on defense. We got a defensive-minded coach. I mean, the division is up, is in our hands. I mean, it's in our hands if we want it. I mean, the Texans, they've got a good defense, not really excited about the quarterback. The Colts go as far as Andrew Luck goes. I like Mariota and with the Titans. But this year, hey, we should win the division. And when we stay healthy and we stay locked and loaded, there's absolutely no reason why we can't win the division.
There's no player in Jacksonville with a bigger bullseye on him than Luke Joeckel. And being the first draft pick of Dave Caldwell when he got here, playing left tackle, they're moving him inside to left guard this year, Leon. How difficult a transition will it be for him to go from that left tackle spot to that left guard spot?
Well, actually, left tackle is a lot more difficult because you're out in space. I mean, with the left guard position, he's going to be between the left tackle and the center. So most of the time, he's going to be working on double teams and pass protection and even run blocking. I mean, so... I think it's much more difficult for him to make the transition from left guard to left tackle than it is going to be for him to be a left tackle to a left guard. So and maybe he could play to his strengths. I've watched him play. He struggled a little bit at left tackle. They absurdly gave him the name Baby Boselli, and that is that I don't understand that at all. Boselli is like at the pinnacle. That was a lot of pressure to put on that kid from the start. But hopefully he can make the transition. Hopefully he can help us out in the interior. And like I said earlier, hopefully he can help our run game because as much as you want to say about the tackles, the left guard, the center, and the right guard are going to be the meat and potatoes of your run game. And hopefully he can help us in that area.
Yeah, we've been looking for a Baby Boselli for a while, Leon, because they called Mike Pearson that, too, when he got here, man. And you know what? Maybe Boselli's kid, hey, who's a freshman up in Tallahassee, hey, for Florida State, exactly, will be the next Baby Boselli, right?
Well, I tell you what. Yeah. Keep Boselli. That's a name that you got to keep out your mouth unless you're ready to operate like that, man.
Hey, Leon, I got to ask you, man, how excited you were to find out that your former teammate Jimmy...
You know, what's crazy about being on that Jaguar team, man, and I look back at it now, and I take it for granted what I was playing. I look at all the amazing talent that I played with. I mean, everyone from Boselli to Brunel to Freddie.
Hitting you up a long distance.
Yeah,
right,
we haven't
there.
Just been trying to replace Boselli, Leon. We've been looking for that right tackle, too, for a long time, brother.
Oh, man. Well, you know... We had some guys come. I loved Maurice's Williams' play. I loved his play when they brought him to Jacksonville. I mean, Cersei and Boselli is a pretty tough tandem to replace, but y'all will find someone somewhere down the line. I'm sure of that.
Hopefully we got him now. Hopefully,
that's right.
Hopefully.
Big nasty.
Parnell.
Parnell's a big nasty.
We're all hoping.
Man.
You know, Leon, I wanted to ask you, too. I know we mentioned Jimmy a moment ago going into the Pride. How much have you kept in touch with the guys that you played with here in Jacksonville over the years?
Well, usually on social media, which sickens me, to be quite honest with you. I mean, guys don't pick up the phone anymore, guys. Social media here. Or text you or whatever. I would love to hear those guys' voice again. I went to the game last year for the Legends on the Field thing. I saw guys I hadn't seen in a long time. I saw Keenan. I saw Jimmy. I saw Damon Jones, a.k.a. Big Sofa. I saw Brunel. All those guys, man. Those were some amazing years in Jacksonville. We won so much. You know, those kind of friendships, they last for a lifetime. So I'll never forget my days in Jacksonville. It was just an amazing experience.
Hey, we won't forget you either, brother, and that's why we keep having you back on. Speaking of that, social media, hit Leon up at LeonCiercy72. Guys like you, Donovan, can pick up the phone and call him, though. It's okay.
Exactly.
Call him. He wants to hear your voice, my man.
Where are we high school teenagers? Call me. Pick up the
You know what? He just texted me. He just said, give him my number. I'm not going to read that out over the air, but we'll make sure that you've got Donovan's number if you don't already, Leon. As he
appreciate
said,
you,
he's the three-ring king from the U, baby, 87, 89, and 91.
Is the U back, Leon?
He's the three-ring king is what he is.
I hope so. I pray so.
Hey, listen, man. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I hope the U is back. If not, my smack talking is a minimal.
Smart man. I don't know when to put a governor on my mouth too often either. But you can check out, in addition to at Leon Searcy 72, go to at Real Men Block on Twitter. Check out realmenblockapparel.com and just realmenblock.com if you've got a young kid. Maybe he's going to be a big boy, and he's an aspiring offensive lineman. They're building an online community of support for those guys to help them achieve all their goals on the football field and in life as well. And Leon Searcy is heading that up. Leon, always great to talk to you, man. We will look forward to hopefully catching up with you a lot sooner than December, but we'll definitely look forward to seeing you and a lot of your former teammates when you come into town for Jimmy in December.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Leon, thank you, buddy. There he goes, Leon Searcy. We're just bringing people together, Tony. You know, former teammates.
That's the idea.
They tweet at each other. He's like, what is this Twitter stuff, man? Call me. Double D, call me. I'm going to put these guys together, and I have a feeling they'll be talking before the day is out. All right, Dr. Stephen Lucy going to join us from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Coming up, get our first look at the injury report mercifully. It's a pretty good one for the Jacksonville Jaguars to start the season.
We can just talk about Teddy Bridgewater.
Let's do that. All right, that's coming up next. We are live in Cabana number 3 in FanDuelville, live here at Everbank Field. Just about I could flick a piece of this sausage sandwich right in the pool, but I won't. I won't, but it's that close. I could just flick it right in there.
Maybe we can leave it for Doom.
Oh, that's the present we're going to leave him, right? I've got a seat number, so we're all covered on that. Social media fan feedback question of the day was asking you what's your favorite thing about the Everbank Field game day experience. We'll take a look at some of those responses when we return as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
On Sunday, the Jaguars get ready to host Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers in front of a sellout crowd. We'll get to see some of the new guys on the field, including Miles Jack. Where will he fit in with the defense? Here's head coach Gus Bradley.
He gives us flexibility. He's primarily playing a lot of will right now and giving us that that spot there where, you know, he can provide some depth there. And we'll just see how much he progresses. He continues to play, then, you know, we got to find a role for him. He's going to have a role on special teams. There's no doubt about it. Where he fits in defensively right now, ask me more towards the end of the week.
Now this week, Gus Bradley says the team voted on captains for the offense. Quarterback Blake Bortles is your guy. Defense linebacker Paul Posluszny. And special teams captain is long snapper Carson Tinker. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
It's like a guided tour of Everbank Field, but instead of Jaguars cheerleaders, you're stuck with us. Live from the 1010XL Takeover.
Was that an option? Could we have done it? Could you and I have gotten cheerleaders?
I was not given that option.
Guide us through here. We did have a Sherpa lead us up. Actually, J.P. Shattuck tried to lead me through the bowels of the stadium to get here. I said, the heck with this. And Adrienne.
I don't know.
And she's female, so I don't know. It's spelled like it would be Adrienne. Anyway, she did a great job. She took us up through the front door, Tony. We didn't get treated like second-class citizens like Shattuck would have us believe we are, as we are up here in FanDuelville. And Dr. Stephen Lucy has made the trek high up to this great vantage point that we've got up here. He's with Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, of course, the official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Dr. Lucy, we appreciate the fact that you've brought us a healthy team to start the season.
I'm telling you, it's almost unheard of. I talked to Dr. Kaplan today. He says we've got all 53 people practicing.
53 practicing. That is almost unheard of, right?
Off and running.
I mean, with Josh Wells, he had the broken thumb, I think it was, right? He went on IR. Now, you can bring one guy back off injured reserve at some point. Don't know if they're thinking of anyone already or whatever. But in terms of a timetable for him to have that heal up, what would be a reasonable expectation for a full return to football contact?
Well, I think what they're looking for is about 8 weeks, and I think he's 4 weeks down. In about another 4 weeks, he might be eligible to come back and play in some kind of a brace cast, some kind of padded thing. So, you know, that's going to be a football decision by their staff as you said, whether they want him back and what time in that capacity. But 8 weeks from the injury, he should be probably able to.
Right, and with the, you know, Amame is a swing tackle now, and you got Jokel, who's basically built in as another tackle on the team. You've got a lot of options there, so he may not be a guy that's coming back off IR. A lot different than the early days of the franchise, isn't it?
I tell you, for that first training camp, it was brutal. I can remember we had a heat wave in Stephen Point, Wisconsin, and I walked in the training room one afternoon, and I think we had 90 players, 30 of them were hurt, two to a table, a bunch on the floor, and a line waiting to get in. I mean, it was a different NFL back then. They almost treated the preseason almost like a high school or college, two-a-days of hitting all the time. And you know, Coughlin was very intense, and he wanted everybody to practice everything, and I think the whole league, including Tom, evolved to where now they value the health of these guys, and hence you see 53 people ready to go.
One of the biggest injuries we've seen in the last week or so in the National Football League landscape, Teddy Bridgewater tearing his ACL. Anytime you see a guy go down with a non-contact injury, good chance that it may be the ACL if it's a knee. It was for him, but in addition to that, a dislocated knee or kneecap, I guess, is what it would be. I don't always – maybe this is a pretty common thing with ACLs. I'm not aware. I don't hear about that very often. They said that the training staff's quick reaction may have saved his leg. I know you haven't examined it, but how potentially gruesome must this have been if it were that significant?
Well, Mike, like you said, you can eliminate some of the injuries, but football is football, and these injuries occur in space. Nobody actually hit him. Same with our guy last year. But when you hear knee dislocation, that means the lower bone becomes disconnected from the upper bone. And to do that, something's got to give. And it's usually more than just the ACL. And, you know, because football fans know the ACL, they threw that out there. What they haven't thrown out there is what other significant injuries occur. But when it truly dislocates, sometimes it can actually tear the artery. And hence, that's where you get your lose your leg. And occasionally, if we try to do arterial tests on these players and people who dislocate their knees to be sure the arteries are good, because that is, and people have lost their leg from knee dislocations.
I've got a plan. Why don't you and I and Tony get together every Wednesday and talk about the injuries that have happened to other teams
in
the National Football League, right? Let's keep 53 guys practicing. Heck, if we can get 53 practicing just through the first week, that would be a major accomplishment because, as you said, it's a violent, violent game. The body may not have been intended to play it the way it's played right now in the National Football League. But for now, the Jags very healthy and in the able hands of our friends at the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Dr. Stephen Lucy. How many years have we been doing this now? Like four, maybe, something like that?
Yeah, it's been fun.
It's been a while.
We started off with fantasy football and morphed in, and now we're at FanDuel sitting here. Tony's kicked back on the couch, feet up. I should have brought my shorts and sunglasses and bathing suit, you know?
That's what we were saying. We're this close to the pool, man. We really didn't plan this very well, but
nope.
Doc, when we see you now, we know it's finally here. The preliminaries are done, so let's have a great season, and let's keep these guys healthy.
Good deal.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you stopping by. Dr. Stephen Lucy with JOI, the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, is the official sports medicine provider for your Jacksonville Jaguars. Today, Tony, the social media fan feedback question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Ask folks about their favorite aspect of the Jaguars game day experience at Everbank. What did we get?
Here's what we got from New Jags Fan. Love the new tunnel for the Jaguars Prowl. Music and team coming through gets me hyped for the game. The new club section is sweet. Basically no line at the concessions and cushions on the seats. Awesome. From Staff Prime over there across the pond. Just being there is a big thing for him. And Circle Ups at the Slab from Irish Jaguars, same deal. Just being there is a big deal for him. From Black Dog, Game Day at the Slab, the Foghorn, the Roundup with BCB and Teal Street, Doomed Snappy Retorts, eating and other people's food from Teal Rising Game, the Prowl, Anthem Flyovers, the Screens, the Roar, S Section 244, Pools, Bro Him, hashtag All Tide, hashtag Jaguars. From Dr. Duval, watching every Jaguars game with my dad for 12 years in a row down at the bank. And from Duval Doom before the game, it's the Circle Up. Pretty easy.
Circle Up. I love it. We've been invited to Circle Up.
I would love to go out there and do it once.
How do we get the powers that be have us broadcast out there one fine
Bring the Circle
day?
Up to the radio studio.
Well, I mean, we could bring him to the radio studio. But we're talking about like the game day. I don't think we could bring him inside.
I don't know.
You know, could we? Could we do something?
That old studio, we could have done it. I don't know if they'd notice.
Correct. In fact, that may be why it looked that way. All right, there may have been some secret circle ups happening.
The new studio, I have a feeling they'd know pretty quick.
But I don't know. I want to find a way to do it. Those guys are just they're the heart and soul of the. 10, 15 years from now, you're going to look back and you're not going to ever remember a time there wasn't a Bold City Brigade or Teal Street Hooligans and the impact that they've had on the First Coast and turning the corner for this franchise.
It's funny, we're starting our pre-game this week. It'll be Lauren Blythe and I from 8 to 10 a.m., and I was talking a couple weeks ago to Blythe about the show and what we were going to be doing with it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're basically trying to give it kind of that tailgate feel. More so than just the straight pregame show, we're trying to give it more of that, the fans' involvement feel to what we're going to be doing. And as someone who never gets to tailgate, because I'm always working.
Sure.
Whatever games I go to, I'm always working. I was like, man, this is going to be fun for me because I never get to experience any of this stuff. And she was like, well, you ought to come over to the slab and do all this afterwards. And I'm like, I can't. I was like, as soon as I get done at 10, right back to work.
Right back to work. It is a work day. I mean, trust us. We're not trading it.
No, I'm not complaining about it.
We love the jobs we have.
I would love for 1 week, for one of these Jaguars home games to be able to just go do it with all those guys. Because
awesome.
We talk to them every week and to go fully immerse myself in what's going on with the BCB and Teal Street and all the pregame festivities and be in that fan section with them while they're going absolutely nuts for this football team. I'd absolutely love to be a part of it. I also absolutely love getting to cover this team on a week-by-week basis. I wish I could do both. I just haven't been able to figure out how to make that happen.
There's got to be a way. We'll make it happen eventually if we're lucky to be employed long enough in this capacity. But we should mention again, I know you just mentioned it, but that's a big deal. The pregame show, 8 to 10 o'clock Sunday mornings. You're going to anchor along with Lauren Brooks and Blythe Brumleave. And it's going to be fantastic. And then you'll come over and join the crew, me and JP, and the cast of many, as we get you ready for Jaguar football 3 hours prior to kickoff right here on your flagship station for the Jacksonville Jaguars, 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Just a couple of quick ones here on Facebook on the fan feedback today. Ryan said, my family and I have been season ticket holders since the beginning, been all over the stadium. Absolutely love seeing people we sat next to throughout the season. It's like a family reunion. And we're there to see our favorite sons play football at their best. And then this one we'll leave you with from Eric. The goosebumps and chills 60 seconds before kickoff. Please, oh please, let the powers that be produce a steal the show kickoff introduction pump up video.
You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
It really sells itself,
it
doesn't
does.
There's nothing else necessary. I'm surprised out of the two fantasy leagues we had last night, we had a 12-teamer and a 14-teamer. There was only one person who chose Steal the Show as their team name. Tyler, I just usually throw my name on there because people want to take me down as the host of Jaguars today. I'm not trying to hide
it. Team Tony.
Your Team Tony. I actually put my first name on there, and I go with Mike Dempsey instead of Team Dempsey. But Tyler's Cap Cappy, I noticed. So he's representing.
And in the other league, It's Built.
Oh, you're It's Built for tonight's draft. It's good.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. Solid. Solid. Tiger Woods announced he'll be back next month, right? October? Is that what he announced?
Yes.
No, that has nothing to do with the Jaguars or the NFL, but it's a pretty significant sports story nonetheless. All right, that's going
to
do it for us today.
Certainly not the first year we took it to the limit.
I'm so easily entertained. Oh, my gosh. Thanks to Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor here on Jaguars today. Like I said, I wish I didn't have to, but if I got to have a plumber out to the house like I did yesterday, Metro Rooter's the only call I'm going to make to 695-1911. Visit MetroRooter.com to get more information as well. Serving Jacksonville and the surrounding area since 1978 and the longtime Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars today. Hey, thanks to the great Chef Sean who brought us delicious gator sausage sandwiches this morning and chips to go with it. Absolutely just one of the many, many delicacies. And check out the FanDuel area when you're here. FanDuelville is a two-story plaza here in the north end zone that's open to every ticket holder. So come on out and check out some of the amenities here. And if you're among the first 100 fans to download the FanDuelville Snapchat filter this Sunday, you're going to get access into the FanDuel VIP area. You have to be in the stadium to access the filter, so plan on getting here early. You're going to come out anyway. So if you're not one to spend most of the pre-gaming doing that tailgate thing, check it out. Then download that FanDuel Snapchat filter. Who else? Dr. Stephen Lucy. We appreciate him stopping by. John Osier. Big Leon Searcy.
Yeah.
Give him a follow at RealMenBlock on Twitter, as well as at Leon Searcy 72. He's such a fun guy to talk to, man. He's fired up and very happy, as you could hear, for Jimmy Smith to get inducted or soon to be inducted into the pride of the Jaguars. That'll do it for us. I'm going to go down and talk to Tashawn Gibson. Get ready for the pregame show. I know you're going to talk to the boys of the Midday Chalk coming up as we transition over and we continue the 1010XL takeover all day long right here live from Everbank. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. Thanks, everybody, who showed all the interest in the fantasy football leagues, by the way, whether we could fit you in or not. We did three leagues, which is one more than we expected to, so we're going to have a fun season in that regard as well. And check out the National Truck Driver School podcast now, the Fantasy Forecast podcast, available at 1010XL.com to get you ready on a weekly basis for your fantasy football matchups. All right, that'll do it for us. For Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, for all our guests today, I'm Mike Dempsey, signing off from high atop Everbank Field. Oh, my goodness, it'll be here in just 4 days. Can't wait. Jaguar football coming your way. This has been Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. You know what I'm going to be doing Sunday? I'm going to be watching the Jags, no doubt about it. I may have one eye taking a peek at my FanDuel.com scores as well as they roll in with live updates all throughout the afternoon. I'm going to be in a bunch of setups this weekend, a bunch of leagues, contests, you name it. And that's the beauty of FanDuel. I can get in for as little as a dollar. I can play a lot more high stakes than that as well. We've got our own FanDuel league going. FanDuel.com/Mike. That's pretty easy to remember. M-I-K-E. That'll get you into our league. $5 entry fee. You can win your share of $1,150 in prizes, including the $200 top prize. It's capped at 250 entries. You can have three of your own for $5 a pop. FanDuel.com/Mike. If you're new to FanDuel, got an even better deal. Go sign up using the promo code Mike, my first name. You're going to get 5 free entries to NFL Beginner Contest. That's 1 free entry a week, 5 weeks in a row. These are 50-50 contests. That means you beat the lower half of the field, you're going to win cash. So use promo code Mike to get those 5 free entries. And when you're signed up, play at FanDuel.com/Mike.
You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
You guys have a good day. Peace.